Connecticut domestic violence advocates are warning that delays in federal funding could have serious consequences. Leaders from five different organizations here in Connecticut say they could be forced to cut services, reduce staff, or limit help for survivors if funding does not arrive soon. And one of those entities was the Center for Family Justice right here in Fairfield County. Chatting now with Mark Antonini, who is the president and chief executive officer there. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you?
Melissa, I'm well. Thank you for having me on and bringing some awareness to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is really important. And I have to apologize to you. I tried to do this on the show yesterday, but when you kind of hinted at me that you guys had a roundtable discussion and you're like, oh, I talked to Rosa DeLauro. It was a really important conversation we had. I just sort of was not in work mode. And I was like, that's great, Mark. Yeah. And I just kind of walked away from you. So I want to apologize, because then I read this in the news the next day and I'm like, wait a minute, Mark, you should have come on the show the next day. So thanks for putting up with my antics, and I'm glad that you're willing to come on and talk about it.
No, appreciate it very much. The Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence, of which we are a member, and there are 18 domestic violence agencies in the state of Connecticut, are doing roundtables across the state of Connecticut with all of the congressional leaders. So we had the opportunity, actually a couple of weeks ago, to meet with Congressman Hines down in Norwalk at our sister agency, DVCC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was terrific. You know, we obviously explained the situation. You know, he gets it. You know, there is this funding cut through the violence. Actually, it's the Victim of Crime Act. And it's been going on now for several years. We actually, not just in Connecticut, this is across the whole country. Mm-hmm. There was a 27% cut last year. Luckily, the state of Connecticut came in and helped us with a big piece of that. Otherwise, we are going to have layoffs. This year, unfortunately, which in our year starts July 1, so we're a month in, we got a 20% cut. And this year, we're struggling to make up that 20%. And so, you know, we have victim advocates in the court system, you know, that help when someone gets arrested or if someone has to go to court. And, you know, those are the positions that are really being, unfortunately, those are the ones being targeted at this point that we have to reduce.
What I find really alarming, Mark, and I don't know if this was part of your roundtable discussion, but you bring up the coalition, and we had Megan Scanlon on the show pretty recently, and I asked her to come on because there was new data that showed nearly one third of our homicides in Connecticut are related to domestic violence. And when you talk about one in three death investigations involving domestic violence, to me, that should make people wake up and say, we have a real problem on our hands. And I'm wondering if there's similar data in other states. I mean, again, you know, we dump a lot of money into, you know, when we have health, you know, concerns, whether that is, you know, I mean, COVID or Lyme. And again, those things are, they matter, right? I mean, tick prevention, go on and on. Domestic violence, though, I still think there's such a misconception about how impactful this is on society.
Melissa, you're 100% on the same wavelength as Congresswoman DeLauro. She asked us the same exact question. And, you know, the report that you're referring to literally just came out. I brought a copy with me, but you know what? She had a copy with her, which was excellent. And she actually was going to reach out to the agency. It's the department, Connecticut Department of Energy Services and Public Protection, that released that report. And she was going to call them to get some more information. Now, the question about Connecticut, and just to reiterate what you just said, you know, nearly one third of Connecticut homicides in 2025, this is recent data, right, mm-hmm. is related to domestic violence. And while it's great that all, you know, everyone's saying that, you know, the homicide rates are down, and they are, which is tremendous, but not for domestic violence. So, you know, that's really the core issue there. So we work very closely with being a part of the Family Justice Center system. We are also part of the Alliance for Hope International. And that's the place that actually founded the Justice Center model, of which Connecticut, and we were the first in Connecticut to become a Justice Center, believe it or not, 10 years ago. New Haven followed, and the Safe Futures in New London is going to become one very soon. So there is data. I don't actually have it today with me, but I know that's something that they definitely are working to get, and that's something that hopefully we can come back on in the future and discuss. And, you know, one of the things that, once again, Congresswoman DeLauro had mentioned was definitely let's go full court press on this, right? I mean, I think that's where the awareness, you know, we could bring more awareness to this and hopefully, you know, either get some more funding, if possible, from the federal government or the state government or some private foundations or individuals.
Well, and I think the thing that is alarming, again, we have Mark Antonini here, who is the president and CEO of the Center for Family Justice right here in Fairfield County. And it was one of five organizations that did a roundtable this week, actually, with Congresswoman DeLauro, and talking about how federal funding cuts and delays could really lead to some dire situations, cutting services, reducing staff, even having to close their doors, which is just I can't even imagine. And we'll kind of get into the money aspect of this on the other side of the break, Mark. But the thing I wanted to touch on that you just talked about is, you know, when you hear nearly one in three homicides in 2025 connected to domestic violence, while homicide numbers are down, I agree with you. That's great. Two things can be true at the same time. When I'm told that one in three homicides was something we could have prevented, right? Because you can't really, like, if it's cancer, right? I mean, there's a lot. I mean, a lot of times there are things that we just unfortunately it is what it is. And unfortunately, we got to ride that wave and we got to go through it. Like I look at kids who get cancer and I think to myself, why in the world should a child get cancer? Right. When we talk about something that at the core of it, you are talking about relationships being abused. That's what it is. People not treating people kindly. That's really what we're talking about here. And that is preventable. And when you're saying one in three deaths in 2025 were related to people just not liking the person they are with, or just wanting more control over the person they're with, or just never wanting that person to break up with them. That to me is what should be a wake up call to people. The idea that it's simply two people not liking each other. I mean, at the core of it, I know I'm simplifying it, but my point being is this is preventable. That's what should be alarming to people. Domestic violence is something that absolutely should not be a reality. It just shouldn't.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about how, you know, the three things that we really do. I mean, we do much more than this, but the, you know, respond, restore, prevent. Well, response maybe shouldn't be the first thing. Maybe it should be the prevent. Mm-hmm. And I think you are absolutely correct. The issue is prevention education dollars are not there. You know, we actually have two prevention educators that work for us here. All the funding for that is from private foundations, which is great. Look, we totally get that we can't get everything. And look, there's a lot of other nonprofits that do a lot of other amazing things. You just mentioned, you know, cancer. But look, we understand that the federal government and state government can't cover all our expenses. So that's why we do reach out to private foundations and we have individual donors that are amazing. And then we do many events, as you know. But you're right. There's, you know, the statistics are staggering. You know, one in four women, one in seven men, you know, have been victims of severe physical violence by an intimate partner. And, you know, when you think about it, I mean, these are people that you love each other, right? A lot of them got married, right? So, it's really, you know, hard. And like, I know you had a discussion with Megan Scanlon, I think it was last week, actually. Mm-hmm. And we just met with her again this week, you know, to talk about this and, you know, to try to bring the awareness and, you know, find out, you know, what are some of the root causes of this, you know? And yes, mental health does play a role. I mean, it plays a bigger role than it ever did. Mm. So does substance abuse, you know, all things that, you know, are difficult to, you know, work with, but you have to work with them. And that's just the reality of the situation.
We're chatting right now with Mark Antonini, who's the president and CEO of the Center for Family Justice right here in Fairfield County. CFJ was one of five organizations at a roundtable this week and also was at a roundtable not too long ago talking to representatives who are in Washington, D.C., of course, representing our state, and talking about some of the concerns they have, delays and cuts in federal funding, what that could mean for services here in Connecticut, people who are impacted by domestic violence. So here's the thing, Mark, and I thought you just said it so beautifully before, which is that we need more funding, right? And every nonprofit is looking for more funding, and it's not to say that one cause is more important than another. No one's saying that. But to your point, do you think, you know, with these roundtables and kind of looking at where federal funding is at and maybe, you know, relying on those dollars, do you think that organizations need to look at things differently? For example, Not to say we don't need the resources to support people going through it. No question. We need to do that. But, and this is something I talk to Gary McNamara about all the time, which I know you work closely with him too. I think we have to put that money into getting into schools and education at, I'm saying kindergarten. I'm saying we need to get into the minds of children when they start interacting with peers, when they start catching feelings, and that happens as early as 5, 6, 7 years old. We have to get ahead of why domestic violence is even a reality. Because you're right. When you add substance abuse, mental health, past traumas, it only heightens that problem more. I think we have to do more to cut the head off of a snake, essentially.
Melissa, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, prevention is key. And, you know, interestingly enough, we actually do prevention work in preschool. So even before kindergarten, you know, bullying prevention. And then, you know, we take it up through, you know, through high school, you know, talking about healthy relationships. We are actually on college campuses, you know, working with the local universities. Mm-hmm. We have two campus advocates that are there. And, you know, a few years ago, there was funding from I think it was some Title IX funding that they had received. The schools had received and hired us to go in because obviously, you know, if you could prevent something, and especially you think about these things today, you know, college campuses, you know, even teen dating violence has increased as part of that report.
Yes.
You know, and it's I think the number, I don't have it right in front of me, but I think the number was 55% that it's actually up. Yeah. Dating violence has increased by 55% over the last decade.
Insane.
So, you know, and once again, you brought up the point earlier about the awareness and, you know, what are some of the signs? I mean, can you see some of those signs? And, you know, maybe that's where you could start to take action instead of waiting until it escalates and then becomes a, you know, physical, you know, violence situation.
And here's the thing, Mark, is I don't even know if it's just simply being in the schools. I do think it's even, you know, how parents always say there's no manual how to be a parent. Right. That's like mm-hmm. one of the classic lines
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where I'm noticing it, especially on social media. And, you know, poor Gary gets brought up all the time, but I'll drive him crazy because obviously we have different generations of kids. His kids are like my age and my kid is obviously this generation that we're raising now. And so it's different because they didn't grow up in social media. Mine does. And I see these videos sometimes where moms will be with their little boys, for example, and they're joking, right? They're joking. The adults are joking. But here's how the kids translate it. The moms are taking their kids out, you know, to Disney, let's just say. And the video is essentially this. The kid is very happy and the mom is staring into the camera. And the caption says, you know, when your daughter wants to give my, you know, wants to take my son on vacations, this is what he'll remember as being the gold standard. Basically putting down whoever ends up dating their son. And look, generationally, we've always said, you know, mama's yeah. boys and things like that. But to me, that is where we could be doing so much better because we're already setting a precedent before our kids even start dating. We're already saying, hey, buddy, no one's going to be good enough for you. It's okay that you treat so-and-so because let's be honest, the majority, not all, but the majority of domestic violence does take place at the hands of a guy a lot of the times.
Right.
And we're already messaging our sons that it's okay. It's all good because you know what? No one's going to be good enough for you or I'm going to have your back if you do this. And I'm not saying that people have enabled it, but I do think that messaging and education isn't even enough at the schools. It has to be talked about at home. And I don't know how you crack that code. Like, I don't know. But to me, that has to be put in the parent manual.
Great point. I mean, we do have, as a matter of fact, when I did see you the other night at the Fairfield Night Out, that was actually a Tuesday night, first time they had done it, which was phenomenal. It was great. And that, you know, we had a table there and we did have a lot of folks that came over with children. So obviously, you know, we try to talk to the parents a little bit about that exact subject and actually had a handout. You know, how do you talk to your children about, you know, touching and that kind of thing. And
I
we actually
that.
Had a little display about, and we actually had a hand and we had the, you know, the children write on it, you know, what do you use your hands for? You know, not for hurting, not for hitting, you know, use them for hugging, for helping, you know, so those, you know, and I, you know, obviously they get the message and some of the kids were, you know, kind of joking with us, like you said, but I think it's important. And then, you know, obviously when you get back home, you can, you know, reiterate some of those messages. The other thing that we have a wonderful program, it's a mentoring program. And you mentioned Gary McNamara. He actually helps us a lot with that program. You know, for us, it's funded by the Elizabeth M. Freem. We have a Pathways to Hope program that they help fund, you know, once again, a private foundation. And just to have mentors, it's unbelievable, mm-hmm. You know, and you know, we've talked about this before. And, you know, what's amazing to me is, you know, we try to take the kids to whether it's a basketball game or a hockey game or take them to some, you know, art show or theater. But you know what? They came back to us and said, we want to do something to help the community.
Mm.
So they want to give back, which is amazing. I am was so touched by that. We've actually gone to the zoo, you know, helped them, you know, pick up, you know, papers and things and you know, things like that. We actually just helped, you know, a church make 1,000 sandwiches, you know, so they want to get involved too. And I think that's so important. And you know, we have the mentors that go with them and it's just an amazing program too. So if anybody, you know, would like to become a mentor, you know, please check out our website and, you know, let us know.
Yeah. And certainly get advice for, you know, those at home as well. Like, how do you have those conversations with your kids? And I love that you're doing handouts and things like that, Mark, because I do think part of the conversation is just people knowing how prevalent domestic violence really is. This isn't something that's just going on in a third world country. And oh my gosh, I saw it on the news. You know, can you pass the bread, please? This is something that you should be actively talking to your kids or kids who are in your, you know, your world, leaning in and talking about this because it's a reality. And I so appreciate, Mark, the work that CFJ does. And for anyone who needs more information, wants to connect with them, I'm going to put a link on our website, voiceofct.com. And Mark, you know how much I adore you and CFJ for all that you do. Thank you so much. Definitely keep us posted on what happens next after these roundtables and what's going to be done in regards to federal funding. I appreciate it.